Hello, and welcome to Biohacking with Brittany. Thank you for listening to a new episode today. This is a place where I talk about health and wellness and biohacking and all of those things that kind of go together under that umbrella. If you're new here, I am a registered holistic nutritionist, and I really focus on women's health and women's biohacking. And I am also studying advanced fertility nutrition as well. So I talk a lot about preconception health and fertility, postpartum, pregnancy, those types of things. But we also definitely dabble in a lot of other things as well. So if you are watching this or listening to this, I think my new podcast logo is out. This is kind of my new branding that's coming this week and next week in general. So I hope you like it. I didn't design it, which is great because I think I'm beyond the point now where I should be designing my logos and my branding. To be honest, it's not my area of expertise, but kind of when you're starting a business, you kind of just do everything. You know, you use the free version on Canva and you make a podcast logo and you call it a day. But we have transcended past that. And you can probably tell because it looks way better than whatever I can create. I'm not artistic in that way. So thank you to the team who did my new branding. This amazing woman, her name's Alina, and she's in the Ukraine and she's just awesome. So thank you so much to her. And I hope you like it. I'm moving towards more of a space of, just like modern women's health, but also biohacking. And so it's like, how do you encompass that? And branding is difficult. And so I really hope that this kind of like comes through as that. And yeah, it'll be all over my new website in the next couple of weeks and my new course that's coming as well. And I think it'll be good. And I think it stands out and it's a little different. I don't know. So today's episode, we are diving into some really deep topics. And I kind of like doing this. I'm very open to these types of discussions. I love the science-based ones, the data-based, and the nature-based as well. But there's something really cool about going deeper and really looking at things from more of a profound level and understanding why we do the things that we do. And so this episode definitely is all about that with Holly Copeland. And she is a meditation teacher, sound healer, breathwork practitioner. And we get into a bunch of different topics, really, with this one. So we talk a lot about flow, like the state of flow and how you can kind of get there. We talk about ancient wisdom versus modern science and like how this kind of comes into healing work and coaching. We talk a lot about the ordinary mind versus the awakened mind. And what the heck does that even mean? How do we even navigate that? And how can you tell which one you're doing? We just talk a lot about different ways of really tapping into consciousness and breath work and mental health. And I give a couple of examples of people in my life who are going through tough times right now. And she kind of like gives guidance and recommendations based on that. And so it is a really eye-opening episode. And I just really enjoyed this conversation. I just like these moments where I can connect with other women and we can go deeper than just like surface level biohacks sometimes. Like sometimes we do need to kind of look at our trauma and look at our history and our past and how things show up and why they show up the way that they do. So we kind of get into that a lot. You know, we talk about infertility and PCOS and how that is linked to childhood and a lot of trauma that you can go through, you know, linked to being, you know, shamed as a woman and your female side of you and your womanhood and things like that. And it's really eye-opening. So I think you're going to enjoy it and I think you're going to get a lot out of it. A shout out to the sponsors of this week, Neurohacker. I love a couple of their products. I mean, I love all of their products, but I know a couple of them the best. And they have a Synalytic product that is very, very interesting. It is all about supporting your cellular health and really helping to renew your cells from a like very minute level. They also have a nootropic that I love. And any biohackers listening know what nootropics are, or people out there who, you know, care about brain health and being focused and memory and being tapped in and being in flow state even, they have one of the best nootropics that I've ever seen. So my husband takes theirs and really, really likes their product. And I like it as well. It's got a bunch of vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients in it that are really designed to help you stay focused at work or school and help you show up without having to have like a bunch of coffee and then crashing in the afternoon. And it's interesting. Like, they just have a ton of science behind it. And I think Neurohacker is one of the best, one of the longer standing companies I've seen in the biohacking space. And they're definitely very popular for a reason. So check them out. Use my discount code, use my link. It will get you the most amount of discount that you can get. And I will put that in the show notes for you. If you're listening to this and like you forget, just send me a DM on Instagram. I can always just send you stuff too. It's a lot of people do that. It's really easy. And a shout out to Mimio. I love working with the team at Mimio. They were in my top 2023 supplements. So there were only two outstanding ones, and they were one of them. And they have a supplement that is a biomimetic supplement. So essentially, this is something that mimics all of the like molecules, not all, but molecules in your body. So it is very easy for you to absorb it and actually use it. And it's based off of four different ingredients that really help targeting aging and longevity and cellular turnover and really helping just like clean up our cells in a nutshell. So Mimio is for those people who want the edge, who want the extra energy, who want to decrease their biological age. That is who Mimio is for. Like, it's for the people who are like, I care about longevity a lot. I want to be healthy and have a long health span, not just lifespan. You definitely need to be on Mimio for sure. So I have it. I'm literally staring at the bottle on my desk right now because I always take it when I'm working. And when I see it, I don't know, it's one of those, that's my trigger, that's my habit for it. So check that out. You can use my discount code BiohackingBrittany in all capitals. It's on my website and it will be linked in my show notes as well. And enjoy this podcast episode. I put out episodes every Tuesday and Friday. And if you want to leave a review or a rating, you can do that. Or if you have guest suggestions, you can also do that. Send me an email or send me a DM, whatever you want. I am taking guests right now up until June. Yes, June. I'm taking a couple weeks off at the end of April because I'm traveling. So May, I think May is completely booked, to be honest. There might be a couple days open, but then May, you can just book into June. So yeah, so let me know and enjoy this one. And I will catch you on Friday for another episode. Welcome to Biohacking with Brittany. I am so excited that you are listening to today's episode. I have a fellow biohacker on the show with me, which is always a lot of fun because there's honestly so much that we could talk about. I have Holly Copeland joining me, and she has a very interesting journey from a conservation scientist to a visionary in human potential coaching. Is nothing short of transformative. She has a rich background in actually mapping Earth's ecosystems, but she actually took a personal turn when she had her own health challenges, which we are going to dive into, and kind of how she got led to biohacking and not just, you know, basic wellness and that type of thing. She is a certified coach, a neuromeditation teacher, a sound healer, and a breathwork practitioner. And she really just empowers individuals to navigate life's challenges with resilience and joy. And she just told me she came back from a medicine retreat. So I think we'll have to dive into that. So Holly, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brittany. I'm so happy to be here. I love listening to your podcast. And so it's so much fun to be on a podcast with a fellow biohacker.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us about this medicine retreat. What was that all about? And what did you kind of learn?
Yeah, well, so I was doing a medicine journey with MDMA and psilocybin, and which is a beautiful combination. People who may know Aubrey Marcus has talked about it on one of his shows recently, and he talked about it being like a god bomb. And I hadn't actually experienced that combination before myself, and it was nothing short of incredible. And So, you know, I do work with plant medicines. I've been actually working with ayahuasca for the last 5 years. I was in Peru at the end of October for a 10-day retreat there. I've gone to Costa Rica. So I've been exploring with medicines as part of my journey. And it has really brought me back into a deeper understanding of who I am and what I am here to serve, you know, how I'm going up in service to the world. And I think it's a really important part of human transformation right now. I mean, I also work in the meditation space actively and the non-medicine space, and I respect both deeply. And for me, I love the beauty of combining them.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I have definitely dabbled in my own microdosing journeys. I have tried MDMA, but have not done it with psilocybin. And I've taken psilocybin multiple times where I have really explored healing through it and microdosing through it. And I had some very profound realizations when I did that over, you know, 5-6 months, a few times a week, and kind of was on more of a protocol than just taking it here or there. But I would be very interested in, you know, combining it with MDMA. And I'm guessing you probably were taking it in larger doses than what would be like typical of a microdose.
That's right. This was not a microdose. So this was a journey dose.
Yes. Yeah, I was just thinking that, a journey dose. And what were some of, like, I mean, obviously you don't have to give us too much details personally, but what kind of stood out to you compared to just trying psilocybin or MDMA by themselves? Like, what realizations did you kind of see or come through when you combined these two together?
Yeah, it's a great question. And having done both separately and then this first experience with them together, you know, psilocybin allows like a depth of going into who you are and a deepening and opening in your heart. And so I think having the psilocybin experience first allows that. And then the MDMA comes online and it just drops you into this space of deep love and understanding. It allows you to face any fear that you had with so much compassion and so much love. So I think the psilocybin brings some of the depth and I connect a lot to the earth and earth medicine, you know, and so it brings in that earth medicine component. And then psilocybin just opens up your brain to pure love. So,
wow.
Yeah. That's how I describe it.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. And it's definitely something that's kind of on my radar to look into in the future. And same with ayahuasca. I haven't tried ayahuasca yet and I would like to. And, you know, it's interesting. Every time I bring up ayahuasca to people who are kind of like in the wellness space, but not as deep as like, say, I am, or maybe you are. Like, for example, I have this one friend who I was talking to her about it. And she was like, I'm not ready to do something like ayahuasca because I'm not ready to like completely uproot my life. And like, she's like, I don't want the change that will come from it. And I thought that was such an interesting perspective because I've never feared that. Like, I've never feared what could this mean for me? It's in my mind, I'm like, oh, if I do something like this, I'm actually just optimizing my life and I'm getting to where I want to be faster. So maybe it makes sense. So do you ever see that, like when you work with people or when you do these retreats, like that kind of fear of what it might bring in their lives?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I like you come to it from a place of like, bring it on, baby. Let's just do this. Let's get out all the crap out of the way so we can live free, you know? And I think that by the time you get to the space of the retreat, the people that are there are ready for that. You know, they say that ayahuasca calls to you and you'll know when you're ready. And, you know, to your friend, you know, absolutely, it's not for everybody at all. And some people, you know, when you're ready, you're ready. And in terms of medicine, I have so, so, so much respect for ayahuasca. It's actually probably my favorite medicine, have to say, because it has changed my life so profoundly. And it's hard. I mean, the most difficult experiences of my life have happened in ayahuasca journeys. So it's it's hard to say, like, it's hard to ask for that, to put yourself, you know, deliberately into that position. And at the same time, nothing has freed me more than ayahuasca has, I think. So free. Help others be free.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. I agree with you. I think it does call to people at different times. But I would also argue that potentially the people who are afraid of it might need it more. And there actually might be more things that are kind of waiting for them to uncover, you know? But again, it's like you said, it's like, oh, are you ready to uncover it? I don't know. But I encourage her anyway to dig deeper into it and dig deeper into that fear. Like, why is that fear there? Because also potentially is like, she probably knows what will come from it and she doesn't actually want to face that thing, right? So whether it's ending a job or a relationship or some sort of big life change, she probably actually already knows what it's going to be. So I don't know. I it's just interesting to hear different people's perspectives.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And I think there's a lot of wisdom that you're bringing up about, you know, to look at whatever fear is coming up, whatever is making you afraid, and just take a beautiful, honest look at what is it that you're afraid of.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah, again, I want to reiterate, like, these paths are not for everybody. Some people feel called and some people don't. And I so respect that. Like, there is nothing, you know, there's nothing that says you have to go down this path. It's just that some of us really feel called to it.
Yeah. I think it's like this for a lot of things, though. Like, when I think about fear and how it shows up in the health and wellness space, like, I was just talking about this on my podcast last week. When people do like cold plunges or ice baths and they are in for like 45 seconds or 30 seconds, and there's so much fear there that they get out, or maybe they don't even get in to begin with. But then the question is like, what are you actually afraid of? Like, what do you think is going to happen? Like, there's people around you. You're in a safe space. You're not going to die. Like, you're not, your body's not going to break in half. Like, you can do this. Like, what is that underlying fear, and where does that come from, and why is it there? And I think we see this actually a lot in the health and wellness space when we're asking people to get uncomfortable and do something against the comfort and convenience of our life.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. 1,000%. And it's so funny because I'm speaking to you from up in Nevada City, California. I've got a stream running by the property, and I've been doing cold plunges in the stream every day. And and it's like ice cold, like snow melt cold, you know, so cold. And it's so uncomfortable. And I think you're absolutely right. It's like getting comfortable with the uncomfortable. That's what, I mean, that's the beauty of cold plunges and hot, you know, saunas and this medicines and all these things that actually invite us into the space of discomfort, because that's where magic happens, is actually when we push we invite ourselves into something that might be uncomfortable, to see with curiosity, to see what happens when we allow ourselves to sit with that discomfort.
Have you heard about senolytics yet? It is a class of ingredients discovered less than 10 years ago, and they're being called the biggest discovery of our time for promoting healthy aging and enhancing your physical prime. So you know that I absolutely had to get my hands on this. Your goals, your life goals, and your career and beyond require a lot of productivity. I feel that, and you feel that. But let's be honest, the aging process is not our friend when it comes to endless energy and productivity. That's why I started using Qualia Senolytic. As we age, we all kind of acquire these cells in our body that are called senescent cells. They cause symptoms of aging that we both feel: aches, pains, slow workout recovery, sluggish mental and physical energy, and everything kind of associated with that. They're also known as zombie cells. Basically, they're old and worn out and not serving as useful of a function as they once did. So we can take something like Qualia Senolytic, which helps remove these worn out senescent cells to allow for the rest of our cells to absolutely thrive. And one of the best parts is that you actually only need to take this supplement 2 days out of a month. So I like to do this once every quarter. So I'll do 1 month every quarter where I take these supplements just to really clean out the house, to sweep out all of the old zombie cells and really create space for the healthy new ones to absolutely thrive. And you can do the same. You can resist aging at a cellular level just like I am by using Qualia Senolytic. Go to neurohacker.com/Brittany for up to $100 off and use my code Brittany at checkout for an additional 15% off, which is huge. That's neurohacker.com/Brittany, spelled B-R-I-T-T-A-N-Y, for an extra 15% off your purchase. Let me know what you think. It's also linked right on my website in the show notes, so it's super easy for you to use. Yeah, and you can actually even see this in meditation. Like, I know you're big into meditation of like, you know, you can meditate for 5-10 minutes, but if you ask somebody to meditate for an hour, it's like, it's not fear, but it's maybe it is fear, because maybe it is like, I don't want to sit with myself for an hour and just have my thoughts flow. I would rather distract myself with like my phone and TV and stimulation. And so there is that fear of like what happens when everything's quiet and it's just you. And I definitely see that. Do you see that when you work with people?
Absolutely. Yeah. And in meditation specifically, for myself personally, and when I work with people, like I find that it takes me 40 minutes. Like I've come across, I don't know what it is about 40 minutes. And I've actually talked to other meditators and they've agreed with me that there's actually like a bit of a 20 minute threshold and then a 40 minute threshold. And when I get past 40 minutes, oftentimes like my mind will be, you know, bouncing around to some different things and stuff. And then finally, like something clicks at 40 minutes. And I've done a bunch of EEG recordings of my meditation. This is one of my first biohacking things I really got into was meditating with the Muse headband and seeing actually how the brainwaves switch over from a, you know, more beta dominated state into a deeper theta state that happens around 40 minutes for me. So, you know, sometimes we just need to allow that discomfort and give it space. And I think you're right, though, that people are afraid of what's beyond, you know, what they're going to find if they stay and they're not practiced.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. Just thinking this through and thinking about practicing being uncomfortable, because why would we do that? Why would you want to do that? Do you know what I mean? A lot of people just love to be comfortable, love to have access to everything, love to just be in this place where everything is super accessible and they don't have to worry about anything. But in reality, the biggest growth comes from when we are uncomfortable and when we go through those hardships and those hard times. So it's almost like embracing it actually makes us handle it better. And when it does happen again, we can now handle it better even more because we have more experience. So it's almost like just building up this resiliency of things that are shitty or crappy or uncomfortable.
Yeah, 1000%. I think that's so true and wise. And I think since I was sitting here reflecting on what is it exactly, and what I think what I would say is that when we push ourselves, you know, past the you know, either the uncomfortable cold plunge or the meditation monkey mind or whatever, it actually allows us to come into this place of surrender. It allows us to move into what's beyond the discomfort, what's beyond pain and pleasure. And that's where the truth lies, right? That's actually where source sits. If we want to speak more in the mystical realm, that's the place of the beyond beyond. But if we're always paying attention to us, little comforts and discomforts, we're staying on the surface. We're never getting into the beyond. And that's where all the magic lies.
Yeah, absolutely. You talk about going from the ordinary to the awakened mind. And this is really interesting. I don't know if I've ever seen it like kind of worded like this, but what does that journey kind of look like? And how can we, or how can the average person like navigate that transformation?
Yeah. Thank you. So when I speak about ordinary versus awakened mind, it's actually our conversation now is leading so beautifully right into it. Because ordinary mind is where we're pinging from thing to thing to thing. We're stuck in object-based reality, right? And so right now, for as you're listening and everybody that's listening, I just invite you into to look at something in your view. Like I'm looking at a tree. So I'm just right in normal waking perception, we perceive that there's an object like a tree or whatever you're looking at. And then there is that which is awareness itself, which is aware that I'm looking at the tree. And I'm just going to pause there and turn it over to you and tell me what are you looking at right now, Brittany?
Yeah, so I can just turn over and like look out my window and look at a tree as well.
Okay, perfect. So we're both looking at a tree and we can notice that like the tree has size and a shape and it's defined, right? It has edges and boundaries.
Yeah.
Yep. And so we can see that the way the mind kind of perceives it, it kind of condenses around that thing. It pinpoints down to that tree. And at that same time, can you notice the tree and then notice that something is aware of the tree?
Yeah, like the in-between almost.
Yeah, almost like, and actually one of the ways the Buddhists do this is they say, okay, look at the space between you and the tree. So stop looking at the tree and just focus on the space. And then bring that in and then focus, like your eyes are still on the tree, but focus on the space in your mind, in your head. And do you feel like something opens up when you shift your attention to the space itself? Do you feel that?
Yeah, it's definitely different for sure.
Right. And what do you notice about that space?
I feel like I'm almost watching myself watch the tree, if that makes sense. And I'm just like, it's honestly really hard to put into words, but it's different because you're no longer thinking about the characteristics of the tree or what you're visually seeing. You're thinking about like you said, like the distance between that space between you and the tree. And then also just the overall awareness of the entire environment around you and that tree, I guess. And then also kind of watching yourself at the same time.
Yeah, beautiful. That's so beautiful. And so it is like very hard to put into words this space that's the watching space, right, of awareness. And just notice though, it's a one, we're noticing it's different, right? So we're actually noticing there's, and I'm going to call this, the tree is like the object. And this space that you can't really describe, let's just call that the subject, right? Then that's the subject, or you awareness. And so in this shift of perspective, notice that you awareness actually doesn't have any boundaries or edges, unlike the tree. Can you find an edge to that space in which you are watching, the watcher exists?
Not really. Like, obviously, it's just what I can see, but there's no defined edges like the tree has.
Right, exactly. And so as we start to play with this, this awareness, awakened space is, you know, and I work with clients, I take this further, actually to start to see that awakened mind is you, is source, is everything that is, and that you are not separate from anything that exists either. So just one more little game here. Can from this space, from the space of awakened mind, can you actually find a place where you end and the tree begins?
Oh, no.
Right?
You can't.
So that actually, when the sages and the mystics say that all is one, actually, this experience I just pointed to is actually a gateway into what they're explaining, is into what they're pointing to. So it's very, I would say that awakened mind state and this simple pointing is actually the doorway into this deeper mystery, the experience of ourselves as infinite divine beings.
Let's talk about Mimio, a breakthrough longevity supplement that hacks your biology to help you look and feel younger. It was created by PhDs in nutrition from over 7 years of clinical research, and Mimio was designed to mimic the longevity benefits of fasting in a simple daily pill. Not only has Mimio been shown to extend lifespan in animals by 96%, but users have been able to take as much as 2.5 years off their biological age in just 8 weeks. How? Mimio's groundbreaking biomimetic formula uses a patented blend of all-natural metabolites that work together to help your cellular health from the inside out. First, there's OEA, which is a metabolic supercharger clinically proven to help control appetite and promote fat metabolism so you can crush those cravings and silence food noise throughout the day. Then there's spermidine, the cellular autophagy activator, helping clear out cellular junk to boost cognition, clear brain fog, and refresh your cells. Next, there's nicotinamide, a broad-spectrum NAD plus booster that's been shown to improve everything from metabolism to skin glow to immune health. And lastly, there's PEA, one of the body's most powerful rest and repair molecules that helps control inflammation, relieve discomfort, and enhance recovery so you can get that youthful energy back. Mimio is designed to work like a super fast, super efficient fasting diet, but without actually having to fast. It's all about tapping into the power of your own biology, giving your body the cheat code to work its best, making you feel younger and healthier today. You can try Mimio today. Use my discount code at checkout, which is BiohackingBrittany, and you can get all of these benefits in a simple supplement today. Again, that's BiohackingBrittany in all capitals. So definitely try it and let me know what you think. So, learning about being more awakened, like how do you recommend we kind of take this framework and apply it to our daily lives? Like, is it something you want to kind of practice every day, maybe a few times? Like where do we go from here now that we can kind of identify the difference?
Yeah, great question. So yes, in the Tibetan teachings, where this work that I studied comes from, Mahamudra and Dzogchen, they teach to practice it many times throughout the day to make this shift from our ordinary mind, where we're caught in the subject, right? Mostly, most of us just jump from subject to subject to subject to subject all day long, right? We never stop focusing on the subject. But what they teach is that if you learn to sit back as awareness and view life from this perspective, you can radically change your whole life, because our whole experience of being caught up in feeling like we have to keep grasping and getting more is all based on subject-object duality that we're of jumping from thing to thing. So the way it transforms your life is as you practice it, and I have lots of guided meditations on my Insight Timer channel, for example, and there's many others that, you know, of practicing this, you actually can start to permanently shift into being more of an awakened mind state, where you are more of, I don't want to say the observer, because that sounds passive, but you're less caught in a subject object and you're more operating from a unified, I would even say, flow state. So I would say that, like, even when, say, Stephen Kotler and others talk about flow states, which is a big thing in biohacking, actually what that experience is it's a state where we're dropping this, the you that is constantly striving, into more of a full embodied state of being. And there's many doors to that. That's what the different spiritual paths are about. But this is a gateway to that. It's literally a gateway into, if you were to call it that, flow state, into being a more embodied, natural way of being.
Yeah. I love that you said that, because I, like you said, like the flow state terminology I see thrown around quite a bit now. And yeah, for flow state, I see the word thrown around a lot. And I, the way that I've always interpreted it is like being in this zone where I can like focus on work and, you know, it's all about nootropics and like kind of optimizing brain health and getting all of these things done. And just like, I don't know, like, not being distracted and just being in this like very concentrated zone of flow. That's how I've always thought about it and seen it. But kind of what you're saying is like, there's a flow state where you and everything around you exists as one, and it's much bigger than you just sitting at a desk getting work done. This is like throughout your day, throughout your life.
Exactly. Yes, completely. And I actually wrote an article about this, and I called it like operating. It's like operating system 2.0, where we're activating this way of being. You know, this is also the Tao, right? I mean, these are ancient teachings. This is like not new stuff, but we're reinterpreting it in our modern lives. Okay. So I just want to make that clear. Like, this isn't new. This is really ancient teachings being brought forward. And I love what you brought up about this isn't just about being like sitting at your desk and being in the flow and being productive. It's not. In fact, there was a guy that wanted to collaborate, and his whole thing was about flow and productivity, and, you know, so our businesses could be more efficient. And I'm like, you know, that really cheapens it for me. Like, not just a business tool so they can earn more profit, so we're like more productive human beings. Like, to me, this is about being happy and in love with life. This is like loving who you are and loving humanness and beingness and belonging. And to me, the essence of a real flow state, which again, going back to the Tao and other ancient teachings about how to be in harmony with all of life, is activating a way of being where we're more embodied and whole and complete and at peace. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And it's honestly, it's really hard in today's world to kind of even think about doing this a lot or think about activating this or being in this flow state. You know, we're so bombarded with technology everywhere we go and stimulation. And it's honestly, it's more and more difficult. And I struggle with this because, and I'm sure you do as well, because I think you mostly work online, is like when you work online or even when you go to an office and you work on a computer at an office, I guess, right? Like we're just so like tapped into technology all of the time. And then we're just so, how many hours do we spend not looking at a screen? Like how many hours are you actually walking in the forest or exercising outdoors or meditating or in a sauna? And like, I sadly, it just feels like it gets less and less every year. And so when we talk about being in a flow state, it's like completely opposite of what we see in today's world. Like it really is. And so, you know, this is such a powerful like meditation practice, but how do we, I don't know if you have any other tips or advice, but like, how do we really combat a modern lifestyle that doesn't really make room for this awakened mind?
Yeah. Oh God, I love that you asked that question, because that really was the essence of part of my journey, the retreat this weekend, because what I was shown was tapping back into earth frequencies. So I want to just say that a lot of the work that I do is now frequency based. I love technology. I work with a device called the Healy. That's a frequency device. I work with tuning forks and sound healing. And what I'm shown, whether we're talking about a modern tool like the Healy or whether we're talking about tuning forks, what I was shown is that the earth around us is the home frequency. And we can start by simply starting to tap in more and more back to earth frequencies, because our natural connection is actually, as human beings, is actually with the earth. And so, I mean, I know it sounds a little trite, but spending time in nature, putting your feet in the grass and grounding, going to a river, sitting beside the river and, you know, just breathing in, taking some long, big breaths out in your yard, really starting to let nature, you know, come back into that however you can. I think it's so, so important. And I believe that we are in our modern society actually going to move back into appreciating that more and more. I don't see how we can't, because it's foundational to who we are as human beings.
Yeah. And it's foundational to our health in so many ways. Like the benefits of grounding, earthing, being outside, and disconnecting are just like magnificent. And they're so, honestly, they just compound. They really do. The more you do it, the more benefit you get. And you could feel this. Like, that's the thing too. It's like, it's one of those, it's not even a biohack, but let's say it's one of those biohacks where you feel the benefit right away, but you also feel the benefit even more the more you do it. And I felt this like last year. I went to Costa Rica for 3 weeks and I didn't take my laptop, and I was on vacation for 3 weeks. And honestly, I felt unbelievable. Like, you just wake up with the sun, you're out walking every day. Like, you know, you're on the beach, you're getting the negative ions, you're in nature, and you're just like, whoa, I have zero stress right now. Like, I feel amazing. And obviously we always kind of feel good when we're on vacation, right? But that idea of like unplugging so significantly was just remarkable to really see the benefits. And it's obviously not realistic to say, hey, go do live on a beach 24/7, but we have to kind of prioritize this when we're creating our schedules and we're creating our weeks, because those hours that we spend outside grounding really help us to show up better when we are working or we are with our families or in school or anything like that.
Absolutely. I love that story. And I think that so much brings home the point. It's like, when you get time out in nature, it's like you feel incredible. You really do. And I want to give your listeners, as you were speaking, three things that almost everybody could do now, that even if you live in a city, you can do these three things. And I think they're the three most important ways to reconnect to nature now. Number one is get sun in the morning and evening, especially. Like, walk outside onto your deck or porch, patio, or wherever you are, and let the sun shine on your face in the morning and in the evening. Morning, if you can only do one, do it in the morning. But like spend 10 minutes and just feel the sun on your face. It is so powerful. We do not get enough sun. In fact, we're afraid of the sun. And that's a whole nother tangent I can go on, but we're actually sun beings. We're sun powered. The whole earth is sun powered. And so are we. And so I think we've been brainwashed into being afraid of the sun. And, you know, I'm sure you've gone down this hole too. Yeah, infrared, and there's so much power in sunlight. So that's number one. Number two is drink spring water. Drink water that comes from the earth that is pure, if at all possible. So, I mean, you know, our water, you know, what we know now about structure and water structure is that, you know, water structure changes as it goes through our taps and goes through the piping. And so getting water that is vibrant and alive and, you know, structured by nature, like spring water, is super important. And then number three would be grounding, like go out and put your feet on the grass or the dirt or whatever. Those three things, you do nothing else, change your life.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so simple. Honestly, it's so simple. Like we just had a few days of really warm weather here and sun. And that's not very common for Vancouver. And yesterday I was working outside tanning, and it was because I was sitting at my desk, I was looking outside. It's like 20 degrees, UV4, which is not like super high UV, but it is for March for here. And I was like, okay, why am I sitting here? I can just work outside. So I went outside and sat in the sun. I felt remarkable. It was so nice. Put my feet on the grass, and yeah, I wasn't unplugged because I had to work, but still getting benefits of the sunshine, everything that comes with that, being outside, grounding on the grass. And so there are ways to do it. You just kind of have to find the opportunities and kind of just add it in here or there, really where you can.
Exactly. Yeah, I love that. And I do that too. I will, you know, I have a lot of things, a lot of responsibilities, and I'll take my laptop and sit outside, you know, on a picnic table or something, go to a park, because the sun and being outside is so, it feels so good. It's so nurturing. The best tools that we have are, you know, right here at our feet and above our heads. You know, we start with the simple.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I often say like the best biohacks are free, and They are. They really are.
Yep. You know, like swimming in the ocean, you know, it's free for most people. You know, it's like, you know, a river or something like that. Maybe you have to pay for gas to get there, but it's so simple. Like, you don't have to have an expensive equipment, and you can help yourself so much by doing that.
Yeah, exactly. I know you talk about kind of along the lines of this, of like taking these like ancient wisdom practices and then combining it with modern science. So how do you kind of do that when you're working with people? Like, how do you take these old school practices, let's say, but then also say, okay, let's biohack them, or let's bring in some modern science and let's like get better outcomes with it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, so, well, let's just take one device. So like the Healy is a frequency device. Do you know about this one? Yeah. Okay. So for those who don't know, it's a quantum healing frequency device. It reads and scans your auric field and will send you frequencies for healing. And so, you know, in energy work and in ancient, you know, whether it's Qigong or Reiki or these different ancient practices, we can learn to work with energy and learn to sense energy. And that's, to me, that's been a really important part of my path. And then we can use a device like the Healy to actually scan our field for, so in the Healy, for example, you can put in a statement like, I am so happy and grateful that I am in perfect health and thriving. And then it will scan your field and tell you what are the beliefs that you hold that are incongruent with that statement. And then and that's really enlightening to see, like, what are these beliefs that sometimes are hard to uncrack? And then you can send yourself frequencies that will help clear those beliefs. So that's an example for me, of like amazing technology that exists now that helps me in my day-to-day life. Like, I'm running right now, I've got it on, I'm running the Goddess program, and I'm sending myself frequencies of, you know, Venus energy and love, you know, and like, why not? Why not use this technology? It's here and available. It doesn't mean I don't stop doing the energetic practices, because I do them and I think they're super important. Prayer, meditation are, you know, very important parts of my life. And when I work with clients, you know, we work with both. So maybe that's an example of how I do that.
Yeah, I love that. I do love a lot of these devices and a lot of tech in the biohacking and wellness space. And I have a lot of it, to be honest. I find that it really depends on your health circumstances and what you have access to in terms of what you might actually need or use. So for example, you know, like in the Pacific Northwest, we don't get a lot of sun in the winter, right? We get a ton of rain. It's gray every single day. So when I think about that, I think, okay, what type of tech would actually make sense for where I live and my circumstances? So maybe like red light therapy makes sense, or getting like a vitamin D lamp or something like that. Like those things make sense. But there's other tech that I've gotten and then I don't use it, and I just simply use the free version of it, or like use the natural way of kind of getting the same benefits. Now, you can't track it as easily, right? There's less data, but sometimes people get overwhelmed by all these products that they're supposed to. And I just kind of bring them back to like, what do you actually need for where you are and your circumstances and your health right now?
Yeah, I love that. I think that's so smart, because like you, I have so many devices. I mean, it's crazy. And it's, you know, it is overwhelming. I don't use all of them. Like for me personally, you know, like I like you, I'm trying them because I'm a coach and I'm helping people. And then I think ultimately it's like, which one will really help me? You know, I'll give you an example. Like I bought the Aura ring, and I used the Aura ring, and through using the Aura ring, I learned what was affecting my sleep. You know, I learned that if I don't drink a lot of alcohol, but, you know, I'd go over and have a glass of wine with my family every once in a while, and I'd be like, wow, I could actually track that affected my sleep. That's really useful to know. It doesn't mean now that I need to track it all the time. Like, I've kind of stopped using it for now, but I got a lot of very helpful information about understanding my sleep while I was using it. And now I can put it away and be like, got it. I got the info, and, you know, but maybe I'll use it again if something else creeps in and I need some data to help me understand it. So, you know, I think we can tailor technology. Here's a client who, you know, has a lot of anxiety, and I could just, and her nervous system seemed really dysregulated. And the Apollo Neuro, for those who don't know, is a wristband. It kind of looks like a watch, and it will send you frequencies that help regulate your nervous system, and it vibrates your nervous system, and you wear it like all day long if you want. And it sends these very peaceful signals to your body. And she found it was incredibly helpful. She loves the thing. She really helps me. So like, great, you know, a piece of technology that's legitimately helping her, you know, be calmer and feel more at peace. Like that's, you know, that's wonderful. I'm so glad it exists.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly it. It's easy to get caught up in the hype of buying all of these things, especially when they're marketed to you and they look like it's so sexy and like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, this is going to help you become like this and optimize your health and do all these things. And I get it, but I don't know. I also think that there's so much importance that needs to be placed on the foundation and the foundational pillars of health. And if you don't have those locked down, then there's no point in really buying any of these devices, you know, in terms of like adequate nutrition, sleep, lifestyle, exercise. But, you know, once we kind of get those going and you kind of want that thing to give you the next edge, like there are devices that can be really helpful. It's just like, take it with a grain of salt, right? Like you don't need all of these, and they're not really going to move the needle that much unless you stick to them on a routine all of the time. And you have like a lot of consistency. And like I said, like you have those pillars in place so that there's like a foundation in order for you to actually see the benefit.
Yeah, I love that. Like getting the foundation first, I totally agree with you on like good nutrition, you know, healthy organic foods, lots of fruit and vegetables. You know, if you're gluten sensitive, knowing that, you know, knowing some of what your kryptonites are and then avoiding those, you know, I don't think there's a perfect diet, but I do think we have kryptonites. You know, I'm very mold sensitive. I don't, you know, eat peanuts and corn because I know those are very moldy, and watch different foods for that. You know, so I've sort of adapted my diet over time. And, you know, I'm sure you do that with your clients too. It's like you get the basics. What does your body need in terms of exercise? What feels good? What feels supportive? I always start with that. Like, what feels yummy and nourishing? Because as the more I tune into my own frequency, my own, what I call like your soul song and your soul signature, like I start to know what I really love and what nourishes me. And I believe that it's really about each of us tuning into that. That's more important than any specific diet. Always grounded in healthy foods, always grounded in, you know, close to the earth as possible, as unprocessed as possible, those kinds of things. But then you start just looking at what feels good. I mean, I think, you know, ultimately this is all about, right? What do we all want? We all just want happiness, joy, ease, you know, freedom. And that begins with a journey of coming back to who you are and what you love, you know, whether it's food, exercise, movement, you know, like by God, if you don't love lifting weights, don't lift weights. Like if you don't love running, don't run. I run, but I love running. I mean, so, you know, it's like, it's so important to follow your heart. Not to me, nothing's more important than that. Like otherwise, why are you here?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah. It's personalized, right? It's to you. And I think that is really important. What's one of your health goals for this year? I'm curious if you want to share with us something that is kind of like on your radar.
That's lovely. So my, you know, being frequency based, my health goals are really around feeling the most coherent, resonant version of myself. You know, where anything that's really not in resonance with me is falls away. So for me, you know, that really looks like, it really comes down to what I just said before, like following what I love, listening to myself, knowing that, you know, what foods and things, you know, don't make me feel so good, and having the clarity to stay with that, like having the wisdom to trust myself and trust my inner intuition and go with that and know that there's no set program or set anything. Like I used to, in my old self, in my early life, you know, I used to have all these goals. Like I need to run 3 or 4 days a week. I need to make sure I eat, this kind of diet or whatever. I just don't live that way anymore. Like I do what feels nourishing and I do a lot of saunas and cold plunges and eating whole delicious foods. And my health goal is to be as connected to that and who I am as possible. That's where I think the gold is.
I love that. Yeah, that's a great one. That's like, it's not easy to do all the time. So I think that's a great one. If people want to work with you or connect with you, how can they find you and where can they go?
Yeah, thanks. My website is heartmindalchemy.com and they can go there. And I've got all kinds of information about, you know, my working with me and my courses and packages.
Amazing. Okay. I will link that in the show notes and then also put out my website so people can find you. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast today. This is great. And yeah, it's just awesome to connect with a fellow female biohacker.
Totally. I love connecting with you too. Thanks so much, Brittany, for having me on.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Biohacking with Brittany. If you're interested in finding the show notes or the sponsors for this episode, you can do so on my website, which is biohackingbrittany.com. Remember to follow me on Instagram, where I'm most active. My handle is @biohackingbrittany. And if you're interested in working together and you want to email me directly, you can do that. My email is info@biohackingbrittany.com. And I look forward to hearing from you and having you tune in next week.